The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry Gutz, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gutsy.
Good morning. Good to have you here today. Good to see you. We're going to talk today about our tongue. We're going to kind of continue going where Jeremiah went last week, and I was looking forward to listening to his podcast because I had to leave last week, but stuff happens. I'm just giving him a hard time now more than anything else. So we're going to go back there. And the title of the message today, Sticks and Stones May Break My Bones. You ever say that when you're a kid? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And that's a lie. In fact, I'd rather get hit with a stick or a stone than hit with some of the words that I've been hit with. See, because you hit me with a stick, I don't recommend it, but if you hit me with a stick, it's going to leave a mark, but the mark will go away. But there are times when our words leave marks on people that never go away. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your grace and your mercy. God, bless us. I pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning, God, because this is powerful for us. Move through us now, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. James chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to have to read off the board because through a long series of things, I messed up the PowerPoint this morning. My friends, we should not all try to become teachers. In fact, teachers would be judged more strictly than others. All of us do many wrong things, but if you can control your tongue, you are mature and able to control your whole body. By putting a bit in the mouth of a horse, we can turn the horse in different directions. It takes strong winds to move a large sailing ship, but the captain uses only a small rudder to make it go in any direction. Our tongues are small too, and yet they brag about big things. It takes only a spark to start a forest fire. A tongue is like a spark. It's an evil power that dirties the rest of the body and sets a person's entire life on fire with flames that come from hell itself. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures can be tamed and have been tamed, but our tongues cannot be tamed. Well, there's some good news. Our tongues cannot be tamed. They are restless and evil and always spreading deadly poison. My dear friends, with our tongues, we speak both praises and curses. We praise our Lord and Father, and we curse people who are created in the image of God, and this is not right. Can clean water and dirty water both flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? Does fresh water come from a well full of salt water? Webster's original dictionary, published back in 1806, had 37,000 words in it. Today's dictionaries are over 700,000, and we add new ones every year. One of the new ones that got added this year, which McDonald's is not happy about, is McJobs. You got a McJob. What is it? It's a low-paying job that's not going anywhere. It's a McJob. If you go back to 1950, say, 1960, you didn't have the word fax, except in fact, fax, like just the fax, ma'am, just the fax. And if you're old like me, you'll remember Dragnet. No, that's funny. Nobody else. Okay, well, me. I remember that. I'm enjoying myself right now, and nobody else is. Cell phone. What was a cell phone in 1960? There wasn't such a thing. How about email? If somebody asked me in the 1970s, what's your email address? I don't know. Now I have like 7 email addresses. And they all have different passwords, and I got to remember them all. All these new words that keep coming up. And yet, it seems like in our lives, we kind of keep going back to the same words over and over again. And not all of them are nice. Every one of us has a tongue. Every one of us has a way of communicating with someone. And it's the way we use our communication skills that talks about how the rest of our life is going to go. And you think about it, you got this little tiny tongue in your mouth, but it can really mess you up. We had situations, you know, I worked all week at the fair. We had situations this week where people talked themselves into trouble. In the past, we've given guys opportunities to shut up and go home. And they keep talking and they end up wearing, you know, bracelets. And not the good kind. And they sit in the back of a squad car. And the view from there is not very nice. And in fact, 2 years ago, I was telling one guy, we were driving him to the jail. He's a 19-year-old kid. I said, you talked yourself into going to jail. You could have just shut up and walked away. Well, yeah, but I had to prove my point. All right, dude. Hope you're enjoying the drunk tank with everybody else, because that's where you're going. King once asked his chef to make a dinner with the most bitter thing he could find. Everything had to be the most bitter he could find. So the next night he showed up and everything was made out of tongue. And the king said, wait a second, how is everything bitter made out of tongue? He said, well, think about it. What could be more bitter than the tongue? With the tongue, we can revile someone. With the tongue, we can gossip. We can slander. We can tell somebody, I hate you. We can spread lies and gossip. What can be more bitter than the tongue? The king said, man, that's brilliant. Tomorrow night, make me something that's the sweetest you can find. Guess what? The next night, everything was made out of tongue. Where the night before, everything was bitter and hard to eat, and tonight, everything was sweet and tasty. And the king said, oh, wait a second. You said the tongue was the most bitter thing. How is it the most sweet thing? He said, well, with the tongue, we can praise someone. With the tongue, we can tell God we love Him. With the tongue, we can profess our love for one another. We can compliment. We can encourage. We can help people. What can be sweeter than the tongue? And the king says, wait a second. Then if you cooked everything and made it bitter and you cooked everything and made it sweet, what's the difference? And he said, it's all in how you use it. The difference in your life between whether you're blessed or cursed, a lot of times, is how you use your tongue. The difference between a good relationship and a bad relationship is often how you use your tongue. So we're going to talk today about some things that we do that maybe causes some trouble and then hopefully give you some ways around it. First thing we need to do, some ways that we hurt people with our words. First thing is sarcasm. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19 says, like a madman shooting deadly arrows is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, oh, I was only joking. I was only joking. I didn't mean it. We were talking the other night in the command center about, it was at lunch the other day, about the throw-off phrase. Well, I didn't mean it in a bad way. I don't mean that in a bad way. The comedian used to talk about that. You can say anything you want as long as you have the Italian phrase that comes at the end of it. But I didn't mean that in a bad way. Your sister is uglier than a mud fence. But hey, I don't mean that in a bad way. Your dad is so fat the back of his neck looks like a pack of hot dogs. But hey, I don't mean that in a bad way. Right? Does that really change anything? Does saying that really change that? Or if you talk to somebody about how ugly, or, oh, I was just joking. Come on. Why are you taking it serious? I was just joking. Does that really change that? Because you don't go to, like, nobody's ever said to me, Godsey, you got this big ugly eye in the middle of your forehead. Nah, I was just kidding. But they have said, man, you're fat. I'm just kidding. Okay, but I really am. So you're not really kidding, are you? See, we got to be careful. I can remember being on a youth bus one night with a bunch of kids, and they were talking, and they were poking fun at each other, and there's always guys that do that. I mean, they get along with it, and it's fine, they think. But you got to know who you're talking to. They said something about this one girl, and it was kind of cutting, and we're just joking. And she laughed with everybody else, and when she turned to walk back up the bus, I could see the tears in her eyes. We really need to be careful with what we say. Because not everybody, and plus, you don't know how they're feeling that day. You ever have those mornings where you wake up, you know, and your hair's going all, well, not me, but your hair is going like all different directions, and you got breath that'll peel wallpaper, you know, and you look at the mirror and you think, I don't feel human. And then somebody says something to you at work, and they're just joking, but it cuts you because of the way you're feeling about yourself that day. And they'll never know. It's something they've said a bunch of times, but they'll never know the difference. But you knew the difference because of the way you took it. How many times have we done that to somebody and never known? And they're kind of distant from us now, and we're not really sure why. Got to be careful. I'm not saying don't joke with your friends. I'm saying be careful how you do it. Second way is by careless or thoughtless remarks. That kind of ties in with the first. I read the story Reader's Digest. It said, my wife was only 59 when she died. Despite a heart condition and severe diabetes, she was vibrant and busy until the day she passed away. Sylvia loved life and often said that she cared more about quality than quantity. At the funeral, a few people said to me, Sylvia had so much to live for. It's a shame she didn't take better care of herself. How do you say that to somebody at a funeral? Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword. I told you the story before about me standing with Mike Gutman. And I don't know where Mike Gutman is anymore, but he still hates me, I'm pretty sure. I was in junior high, 7th grade. Sitting there, and this lady walks on campus, and I said, man, look at that fat, frumpy chick. And Mike said, yeah, that's my mom. And it was. And Mike never said a word to me ever again. We played football on the same team. We were on the same defensive unit. He never said anything to me, ever. He would talk to other people. I would be standing in a group of people talking. He would laugh at everybody's joke. And I mean, it was like I didn't exist to Mike. He probably still hates me somewhere. And Mike, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. Reckless remark. I didn't know that was his mother. So does that make it okay? No, I should have kept my mouth shut, not said that at all. Third way, I like this one. Complaining. Philippians 2:14 tells us, do everything without complaining or arguing. And to that I say, amen. You ever live with a complainer? Not you. I'm not saying anything. When I was a youth pastor, my youth groups were like, we don't want to do that. We did car wash-a-thons every year to raise money. We don't want to do car wash-a-thons anymore. They're boring. All right. I found this new thing we can do. We pick up trash on the side of the road, and they pay us per pound. No, we like car washes. But you ever somebody who just complains about everything? Boy, it's a gorgeous day today. Yeah, probably hot later. Hey, it's warm out here. Yeah, I know. We could use some rain. It's raining. Don't you like the rain? No, I'm getting all wet. Remember Eeyore? Eeyore was miserable to be around. He had to be. Probably rain. I mean, there's just people like that, no matter how good things are. Hey, I just won $1 million in the lottery. Yeah, I know. Last week it was $3 million. You know what? We've got it pretty good. And no matter how bad we have it, we've got it pretty good compared to the rest of the world. And really, and now see, and I came in the house, and here's the thing. Like I said in my column Friday, I got to live with this all week. I came in yesterday, I was complaining. I had to go to work, even though I wasn't supposed to, and I was mad, and I'm walking around the house, and I'm complaining, and Lynette said, she said something that made me know that I needed to shut up because I was just going on and on and on. It's easy to fall into that. It's easy just to kind of let that start rolling, and once you get on a roll, man, it's hard to stop. A lot of people are like the guy who got Limburger cheese on his mustache and thought the whole world stunk. You'll get that later. If you had ever smelled Limburger cheese, you would know that really is bad. But think about it. We start complaining, and then once you start complaining, then you surround yourself with other people who complain, and before you know it, everything in the world's horrible. We got a raise at the sheriff's office, and guys complained because it wasn't enough. They complained because we didn't get one, then we got one. Well, it could have been more. Yeah? And they could have given us all Rolls Royces, but they didn't. Let's be happy with what we got and say thank you. Next way we hurt people with our words is through gossip and slander. Proverbs 15:3 says that a man or woman who wants to please God will have no slander on his tongue. He does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man. Boy, it's easy to fall into this. Man, it's easy to fall into this. I work at the sheriff's office. Gossip flows through that place like you can't believe. It'll start on one end of the hallway, and it'll be really bad by the time it gets to the other end of the hallway. Did you hear they fired so-and-so? They fired him. He's on vacation. He's not fired. He's on vacation. But see, gossip and slander doesn't always stay truthful. In fact, everybody likes to embellish their little bit. You ever play post office? I would give Danielle something to say. She would tell somebody else, and they would tell somebody else, they would tell somebody else, they would tell somebody else. By the time I got all the way around, it's a totally different story. In World War I, back before they had radios and all this other stuff, they had to pass stuff down the lines. And so the commander said, tell everybody to fix their bayonets, we're going to advance. That's a pretty big thing to know, that you got to put your knife on the end of your gun because we're getting ready to go into the crowd. Fix your bayonets, we're going to advance. By the time it got to the far end of the place, it was, get your shoes ready, we're going to a dance. Now, if you're the guy at the other end and you're getting your tap shoes ready to go dancing and these other guys are getting their knives ready to go fight, you're in trouble. Where's the party? Not good. It just kind of goes and goes and goes, and the more we talk, the worse it gets. And I got to be honest with you, these things are hard. Anybody here never gossip? Don't raise your hand because we'll call you on it. Anybody here never say anything about someone else? It's hard not to. But you got to catch yourself. You got to ask yourself, should I be saying this? Fifth way we hurt people is by lying. Youch. Six things the Lord hates, seven which are an abomination to him, a lying tongue. In fact, there are some other things that God says. I hate your deliberate misleadings. I hate your half-truths. I hate your exaggerations. I hate lips that lie and deceive. You get the feeling God doesn't like liars? I don't like liars. Somebody look you in the eye and just lie to you. Now, unfortunately, if you live in, if you work in law enforcement, you kind of get used to it. Did you do that? No, I did not do that. They have the thing they stole in their hands. Did you? Or the one I like is when we find dope on them. Is that your dope? No. I don't know how that got there. These are someone else's pants. You know, and I can't tell you the amount of times I've worn somebody else's pants and found dope in them. Come on, guys. Come on. See, I used to tell my students, look, if I ask you a question, I already know the answer. If I ask if you cheat on a test, I already know you cheated on your test. I'm giving you a chance to come correct. I'm giving you a chance to make the things not so bad. Because if you lie to me, it's worse. And we lie to save our skin. We lie to keep ourselves from getting in trouble. But inevitably, it makes it worse. Because after a while, we're kind of like the guy in the old Ed Sullivan show. I don't know if you've ever seen the old kinescopes of it, but he had a whole bunch of sticks and plates on top of it. And he would wiggle the stick. I don't know how he did it. He'd wiggle the stick, and the plate would start spinning. And he'd go over here and he'd start wiggling a stick and make another plate spin. And he'd have to keep going up and down the aisle, spinning, wiggling all the sticks, making the plate spin. And after a while, I'm thinking, that's just stupid. Because you're running up and down, you're wearing yourself out, making plates spin. And everybody knows plates look better with cheeseburgers on them. See, and if you spin it, the cheeseburgers fly off. I don't know why. I don't know where that came from. The more you lie, the more it gets like that. You have to keep spinning all these plates. You have to keep telling more lies to cover up the other lies. And after a while, you can't remember the lies you've told. After a while, you're lying just to lie because you can't remember the lie that's covering that lie, that's covering that lie, that's covering, I'm lost. And inevitably, it blows up in your face, and you're like, well, see, what I meant to say was, come on. Another way we hurt other people is by our tone of voice. You know, a lot of what you say gets lost in the way you say it. They say that every conversation actually has four things happening at it. First of all, there's what you mean to say. Secondly, there's what you actually say. Third, though, there's the way the other person hears it. And fourth is the way they take it. Now, if you're married, you know this to be true. Honey, you look nice today. And what you mean to say is, wow, she's a babe. You say, honey, you look nice today. What she hears is, you look nice today. You with me now? What that means to her is, I don't look nice any other time. What's wrong with me? Now see, you ladies are all laughing because you know you've been there. See, confession is good for the soul, because ladies, we know this. Okay? And that goes on in all these conversations. Now, what if I tell my wife, I love you? Oh, it just brings the warm fuzzies inside her. Oh, I feel so loved. Our dog Riley, which there really is no reason for Riley to be alive, but she just is. She's just this little fur ball that we have that she doesn't do anything except cause trouble. And there's Riley. And I, when Riley was a puppy, it drove Lynette crazy. I would tell her, you're such an ugly little dog. I'm going to skin you alive and, you know, hang your pelt. And she would just like, you know, she would do a little paw dance thing. Or I could tell her, I love you! And she would cower away, you know, and freak out. Tone of voice makes matter, doesn't it? When my kids were little and they're in their cribs, I would sing to them, hush, little baby, don't you cry. Daddy's going to poke you in the eye. And they just thought that was great. Like, That maybe explain a lot about them now. You know, somewhere in their subconscious is all working. You know, that makes sense, because when I walk by them now, they do this. I'm not, that explains it. It's our tone of voice. The way we talk to people matters. We make people sound like they're an irritation to us. I do that. I got to be careful with that. I'm at work, I'm busy, I'm tapping away on my computer, I'm doing something, and somebody comes, what? Well, that doesn't exactly invite conversation. Which, to be honest with you, in my subconscious, that's really what I want. I don't want to talk to them. I want them to go away and leave me alone. I got stuff to do. It's very busy right now. I'm in the middle of Minesweeper. No, I don't know. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. The way we talk to people matters. And it's interesting, at the end of the fair, we do this thing called the sweep, because we basically want everybody to go home so we can. We've been there a long time. We love you. We want you to go away. And it's interesting, because we got a complaint the other day at lunch. One of the ladies said, we are there, and the hardest place to get them out of is the place right there near the grandstands where everybody's eating their food. It's 11:30, and somebody has bought this big brick of chili cheese spiral fries. Now, what you're doing eating that at 11:30 at night, I don't know, because you're not going to sleep until 4 in the morning with one of those, because you keep waking up, you know, I mean, it's going to be ugly, let's be honest. And they're sitting there eating them. And so I would go up to nicely and say, hey guys, time to go. Hate to break up your dinner, but it's time to go. And they laugh about it, or my favorite line is, you don't have to go home, but you got to get out of here. I basically would joke with them and get them going. Now see, I leave myself room to get ugly if I have to. And I can. And they had a guy last week that brought that out of me. Not the ugly, ugly side of me, but I told him, you can go or you can get arrested. It's up to you. He got him went. He didn't like it. He said bad things to me on the way out. Hurt my feelings, and I couldn't sleep that night. Not really. But more often than not, they joke and they walk out. Because if you say something in a soft way, they don't get mad at you. I mean, unless they're just, you know, bozos, and they're going to get mad at you no matter what you say because you're wearing the badge. It's interesting wearing a uniform walking along the fair. Because you get people smile to you, wave, and stuff. And then you get guys who walk past, and they look at you like you slapped their mother. They don't know me from Adam. I've never done anything to them. Just the fact that I was wearing a badge. You deal with them. A soft answer turns away wrath. I can leave myself plenty of room to go up if I have to. So if you're arguing with somebody, or if you're having tension with somebody, why would you start at a high level of tension? Why would you start by yelling? You don't give yourself any room to back off. So what does all this do? What does all of this have? What are all these things, the six things we just talked about, what does it do to us? It brings harm upon ourselves. And here's the thing. If you say it, you're doing it to yourself. This is not one of those things we get to blame on someone else. The devil made me do it. No, you did it because you couldn't keep your mouth shut. We bring this harm upon ourselves. So let's talk about it. First of all, we get damaged relationships. Proverbs 16:28 says, an evil man stirs up dissension and gossip separates close friends. Go back to my story earlier about Mike Gutman. We were good friends up until that day. There are people who haven't spoken to each other for years because of something somebody else said. Yeah, well, you called me fat. Okay. See, and there's a part of me that says, grow up and get over it. In fact, I used to say, eat a Dove bar, move to Florida, get over it. Because you eat a Dove bar, everything gets better anyway. You wait for the sugar rush, you're okay. But really, somebody says something careless to you, is it really worth it to you to carry that around in your heart for the rest of your life? Who are you punishing? You? If you're angry at somebody because of something they said about you once or said something to you once, they've probably forgotten it. But who's the one with the upset stomach? Who's the one who is constantly revisiting that in their head and getting frustrated and getting angry? It's you. Forgive them and go on. See, we damage our relationships with the things we say. And I've done it. I've done it. I've said careless remarks, and then it's been kind of quiet between me and another person for a while. I'm hoping Lynette will forgive me. Hey, it happens to husbands and wives, doesn't it? The other part, though, that ties in with that is the harm you bring upon yourself. Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his lips guards his soul, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Dr. David Fink, and I love that name, Fink, because that's not a good name. If you're a Fink, it's anyway. He studied 10,000 case histories. He worked for the Veterans Administration. He studied 10,000 case histories on people who had nervous tension, ulcers, that kind of stuff. You know what he found? Nearly every one of them were habitual fault finders and constantly critical of the things and the people around them. And it makes sense. If your stomach reacts to the way you feel about things, that fight or flight mechanism, and if all you do is walk around with your nose in the air, picking fault at people, and you're critical of people all the time, doesn't it make sense that your stomach would hurt? Doesn't it make sense that your body would react to that? See, we think we're hurting them by our being angry at them. We're hurting ourselves. And when we use our words and we cause trouble with other people, we hurt ourselves. Quit being critical. Quit being negative. Because the third thing this does is it grieves and dishonors God. We don't think about that. You know, there's a reason why God made it so that the church is called the body of Christ. You ever hammer your thumb with a hammer? When I use a hammer, I'm real good hitting the wrong nail. I hit fingernails and thumbnails and on occasion toenails, and that's really hard to do, but I can do that. And you ever heard the phrase, sticks out like a sore thumb? You ever have a sore thumb? Hurts. And everything you do, you use your other hand, your thumb hurts. I don't know what that is, but when one part of your body hurts, everything hurts. The whole body feels pain. The whole body's just like, your head hurts and all this other stuff. And you know what? We're the body of Christ. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. When one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. We're in this together. And so God says we're the body of Christ. And when we have factions against one another, when we have things in our home against one another, when we have things against each other, we're tearing apart God's body. That is not what God is all about. God is all about us being peacemakers. God is all about us as Christians being unifiers. We're the ones at work who shouldn't be critical of people. We're the ones at work in our neighborhood and school that ought to be lifting people up with our words, not tearing them down. And unfortunately, sometimes it's the other way around. We have got to be the ones who show everybody Christ by the things we do and say. So how do you do it? How do you get there? Well, let me give you some tips. First of all, speak less. Let me let you on this logic here. If you talk less than you do, you have less opportunity to say something stupid. That's simple math. 10 words is better than 1,000. Trust me, 10 words are better than 1,000. When my boys were growing up, they would come in and, you know, they want to give me the whole everything. And finally I would tell them, dude, cut to the chase. What does anybody bleeding? Does this require any intervention on my part? Because they need to know that. Speak less. Proverbs 15:28 says, a good man thinks before he speaks. The evil man pours out his evil words without a thought. One of the things we're taught when we go to testify in court is, you ask the question, the defense attorney or the attorney asks the question, don't answer right away. Even if you know the answer. What's your name? Jerry Godsey. Now, it makes you look silly because it makes you look like you can't remember your own name. Spell your name, please. J. Okay, maybe not quite that bad. But later on when they ask me questions, they want it to look like I'm thinking about everything this guy says because I need to think about what he says because I can really trip myself up. I was at a fingerprint course in Phoenix last year. In fact, I'm going back starting today. And this lady was from Houston, Texas. She was a latent print examiner from Houston, Texas. She says, you know, we were going back and forth all through class. It was real fun. She gets my newspaper column even. We write each other back and forth. Well, she said, now you got to be careful on the stand. And I said, hey, yeah, see, you know what? Take your best shot. I got up on the stand. She tore me apart in like 3 minutes. In 3 minutes, I'm like, hamana, 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 hamana. Well, did you mean to say, no, that's not what, well, yeah, but that's what you said. I mean, she ripped me apart. I walked away with my tail between my legs afterwards. She said, man, yeah, it was easy. But shut up and go away. Speak less. And let me give you an acrostic. I like acrostics. I want you to think about what you say. First T, truth. Am I telling the truth? Now, let's take, for example, me. You come up to me and say, Jerry, you're fat and bald. Is that true? Yes, it is. Yeah, no, trust me, it is. Okay. I've seen myself without my shirt on. It's true. Yeah. So, but is that where we stop? Just because a statement is true, does that mean we get to say it? No, because the next part is help. Will saying this be helpful or beneficial? Telling me that I'm fat and bald doesn't really help me because I'm aware of that fact. I shaved my head and my face this morning. I got a pretty good idea what I look like. So the next part is inspire. Will my words inspire and encourage? Does it really inspire me that you tell me that I'm fat and bald? Not really. Not so much. I'm inspiring you to lose weight. No, you're not. You're inspiring me to pop you in the eye. See, just because the statement is true, just because it may help them, doesn't mean that it's going to inspire them. Not doesn't mean it's going to encourage them, make them feel better. And then the next word is and necessary. Are my words necessary? No. It's not necessary for you to tell me I'm fat and bald. Again, I got a handle on that. I'm pretty good with that knowledge. And then finally, the last letter is K. Are my words kind? Are my words kind and caring? Let me tell you something. If you go through this before you talk to somebody about something, you're going to find out you speak a lot less. Because more often than not, a lot of the things we say don't fit this criteria. Parents, if you could get to this with your kids, you would find that the things you say to your kids come out better, are better received. Kids, if you would do this when you talk to your parents, if we use this when we spoke to each other at work, husbands, wives, just think, is it true? Will it help them? Will it inspire them? Is it necessary and is it kind? If it's not, if you fail on any one of these, don't say it. Shut up. Is that harsh? That's so true, isn't it? Next thing we need to do is avoid critical people. Now, depending on where you are, that may be impossible. I know the sheriff's office, it's impossible to totally avoid critical people. But there are people at the sheriff's office that don't get a whole lot of face time with me. I don't spend a lot of time talking to them. I'm not rude. I say, hi, how you doing? They start complaining about something, I find something to do somewhere else. I don't need to hear it. I got enough junk of my own to worry about. I don't need to worry about your junk. Especially when you're the one causing it. Amen? People that just, all they ever do is complain about other people, I don't talk to them long. I don't need to hear it. Next one, I like this. Would Jesus say it? Ow. Can you picture Jesus saying some of the things we say to each other? Probably not. Last thing, not the last thing, be held accountable. Is there somebody that is able to call you on the carpet? Is there somebody that you trust and love enough to be honest with you and say, you shouldn't have said that? That's hard. Husbands, wives, you can hold each other accountable. Teenagers, you can hold each other accountable. You got a friend that's talking trash at school, take him aside and say, you know what? Come on, you're better than that. Be held accountable. And when somebody says that you hurt them with your words, don't just say, yeah, well, that's not the way I meant it, you took it bad. Just say, you know what? I apologize for hurting you. Own up to your words. Maybe you didn't mean it the way they took it. Own up to it. Own up to the fact that you said something hurt somebody. It doesn't hurt you to apologize. In fact, everybody say that with me right now. I'm sorry. See how easy that is? Of course, there's nothing on the line right now, but it is easy. Was the old Elton John song, sorry seems to be the hardest word? It shouldn't be. Fifth thing you need to do is ask for God's help. Because I got news for you. You're not going to do any of this on your own. Sorry. You're not going to. If you were going to do this on your own, you would have already done it because it would have made your life easier. Every day, ask for God's help. There's a great verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Before we wake up, or before we get up in the morning, before we interact with other people, if you're going into a meeting, if you're going into a confrontation with somebody. I got really torqued about something yesterday, and I told my wife, and it's one of the few times I'm smart about this, I told my wife, I need to call this person, I'm going to wait, because I don't want to talk to them when I'm angry. Because I don't want it to sound like I'm unloading on them. I just got to give them some direction. And if I say it now, it's going to come out wrong. Now, I'd love to say that's just maturity on my part. It's just me trying to cover my backside. Because I don't want to be that way. See, we all struggle with this. I guarantee you, though, if you start looking and working your way through these things, God is going to open your heart and make your life better. But you're going to have to go for him for help. Let the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart, be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Folks, if we will guard our words, are you going to be perfect at it right away? No. It takes time. It takes work. But whatever you improve today, you're better than you were yesterday. And if you get a little better the next day, and a little better the next day, and a little better the next day, you're pretty good at it before you're done. And that's all God asks. Stand with me and let's pray, would you? Father, it is so easy for us to do things the wrong way. God, it is so easy for us to use our words the wrong way. God, let the words of our mouth be acceptable to you. Lord, let the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you. God, do great things. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed as the band's getting ready to play. I just want you to ask the Lord, pray that prayer. Lord, Lord, make the words of my mouth acceptable to you. Father, make the meditations of my heart. Lord, change the way I think about things, Father. When I see something that's not the way I want it to be, God, change my heart about it. Make me see things your way, Father. I pray that you'll open our hearts to hear from you this week as we go through our daily lives. God, make our relationships better this week. Thanks, Father.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.